let's find out about your company a little bit.
Well, thanks. Well, I founded the company in 2007, my husband and I, and you know, we really went after aviation, and we just went in to see if there was a niche problem we could solve. So, you know, we bootstrapped a company. You know, we sat our kids down, and I sat my husband down. I've started about, you know, a dozen different companies in my life, but I wanted to always build a billion-dollar kind of scalable, huge, giant company. This, I told my husband, this is it. This idea is it. It's not going to be, you know, the last 10. So I said, we have to come to an agreement that I'm willing to, you know, I'll lose everything for this business if I have to. So if we end up in a one-bedroom apartment, our family has to survive. Like, we all have to survive, our marriage has to survive, and we have to be all committed. So we basically took a vote, all the kids and me, and I got three kids, and we took a vote, and everybody said we're in, you know. And we literally bootstrapped a company and grew it out of our basement of our home, and we basically were in aviation and looking for a niche problem to solve that nobody had thought about. And we immediately saw a problem around pilots carrying 90 pounds of paper. And, you know, behind them, you know, if you've seen, you've traveled, you've got the really square black briefcase, a really square one, that's full of 90 pounds of paper at 90 pounds. And then a flight attendant's average 30 to 45 pounds. So basically they carry their maps, their charts, and then they also carry all their policies, documents, procedures, you know, what they have to reference in flight. And so at the time, it's 2008 now, they're mailing in like envelopes like this, like to crew rooms revisions, right? You have a 1500 page manual and the FAA makes a change tomorrow and I've got to ship these out to, you know, 50,000, you know, they've got to sign that they've received it. They've got to mail it back. They've got to insert pages. They've got to shred the old pages. Like, can you talk about logistical nightmare in my mind? I was like, holy cow, you guys do this? And then if a pilot forgets, which they normally did, or gets caught with this envelope without the pages being inserted in their bag, they're fined by the FAA. And it's a huge risk, safety, compliance. So we immediately thought, how do we automate this? This is crazy. So that was our first kind of objective. So then I thought, if I just want to automate pilots, and pilots are this crazy and flight attendants are, let's get the entire airline to show up. So I went to an airline that got a boardroom of every department. And I said, if I automated a technical publications for pilots, how could it help dispatch, ground, maintenance? And it was the first time that had ever been done, that a vendor walked in and just listened. And I just started taking notes in that room of all their problems. And then I went back to my coders and I just said, okay, we're not gonna just solve a pilot problem, we're gonna solve an enterprise problem. This document policy procedure problem is with vendors, contractors, employees, it circumferences the entire operation. And in the room, when like maintenance would say their problems, the pilots would be like, wow, we didn't even know you had those problems. And so that's how we started. We developed our flagship product, which was called DCM, Document Communication Manager. And then when the iPad came out in 2010, I was just so excited. I had, you know, I bought one immediately, and then I go back to the airline and I was like, this is it, this is our answer. Like, we've automated the back end, we've automated the distribution, but now we're gonna make an app on an iPad, and now you guys can all have your manuals on an iPad. And they laughed. They were like, you are, you know, you're so innovative, Carrie, and we love that about you, but you are so
silly little girl.
We understand your problems. So I go from place to place with my iPad, and then I went to Jeppesen, the major charting vendor, and I said, listen, we'll automate the manuals and you can automate your charts, and then we'll go to, and they laughed at me. They were like, you're crazy. Aviation is risk adverse, safety, we hate change. And this is too innovative. We'll never go to this. Well, now fast forward, that was 2010. We're, you know, fast forward to today. 90% of the airlines are in approvals for iPads from the FAA. 90% probably will roughly have their approvals in the United States this year to fly with iPads in the cockpits. So anyway, we've solved a problem for the pilots. We're like the fastest growing software company in aviation right now. because we tackled the problem with mobile technology for a disparate workforce. So it's so, you know, it mirrors oil and gas so much, you know, because we've got a mobile workforce that is they're at 30,000 feet, so they don't have connectivity. We're at North Dakota, we don't always have connectivity. So we needed a simple app that worked with or without connectivity, that was super secure, encrypted, but that corporate could literally push a button and now it would instantly take off all your old policies and procedures and put your new ones in its place without the user having to do anything. And that brought a level of safety for the airlines. Like, there was no risk, right, that pilot had to delete something or update those papers anymore. It was controlled by corporate. And then from there, our clients would say, you're so good at listening, we need you to develop a training suite. Like, we need them to do their training the same way. Like, if we can send them there for their documents, why can't we send them there for their training? So we went ahead and added an e-learning system that, you know, tracks who's compliant with their training, because that's part of a compliance package. And then from there, they said, we need forms. We need all of our electronic forms on the same app. We've got to forms run our operation. Any operation that is regulated is run by forms, policies, procedures, and communication. And then they said workflow. Like, boy, routing and approvals is so imperative. We have to have an audit trail for life of how did this get approved, or how did we make a change to this document, and who approved it. A lot of times a forms kicks off a workflow. You know, if you have, we've been working in the gas industry, and their auditors currently go out and do inspections on pipelines in remote locations around the world while they're filling out paper forms of that inspection, and then that forms like literally traveling like these crazy, like we made a map, but it's like crazy. The form goes to this guy, to this guy, to this guy, and finally makes it back to corporate headquarters where someone else manually enters it into an Excel spreadsheet. It's crazy. So we actually made it so they could take this out, you know, on an inspection with no connectivity, do their inspection, oh, I've got corrosion, you know, on this pipeline, and we're at, you know, over a 5, which means this action has to be happened, right? They hit submit, next time they get connected, it immediately sends corporate the form, and it started the workflow of getting the crew that has to respond to corrosion on a pipeline, and it follows up with them. So now this becomes the core to any business, right? It's not been thought of by any other technology company of enterprise mobility around the core functionality of your documents, your communication, your forms, your workflow, and your training. Like that, you know, there's accounting software, there's CRM software, you know, there's inventory software. But what is a core of any company? Your policies, your standard operating procedures, your forms, your communication, your documents, your training. Like without that, you're dead in the water. So we've done that with mobility, where we've done everything for flexibility. So we've got, you know, in these groups, we found that all these departments were siloed because basically they had different needs. Like flight attendants, you know, they don't want to use, you know, this file type, or they don't want to use an iPad, they want to use an Android. So we built everything flexible. So I've got flight attendants that can use an Android, pilots that use an iPad. You know, I've got training that, you know, sometimes people put a PowerPoint out or a big SCORM file or an Articulate file, but it's so flexible. It solves so many problems now that when we come into oil and gas, you don't even know where to start. Like we met with Marathon yesterday, and you know, we're sitting there talking to them. And, you know, the ideas that they're coming up with, and I'm like, yeah, this is our biggest problem, right? It solves so many problems. It solves HR problems, procurement problems, accounting problems. It solves field work problems. It solves tailgate problems, you know, your tailgate meetings, you know, and they're just like, oh my gosh, this is, and it's so simple to use. You know, I can install it in weeks, and instantly you can have your operation running, and you can use smartphones, tablets, PCs, Macs. It doesn't matter.
So is it really industry agnostic? You, whatever your documents, policies, whatever it is you need to do, the software is just, it's a platform.
It's a distribution and management platform. So I can literally go, you know, to a different industry tomorrow and set it up custom for them, because it's all their policies, all their documents, all their standard operating procedures. And then the system just was built in such a flexible manner that everything is like, I don't want to talk too techy, but the GUI is flexible, so mm-hmm. the front end is, so there's no custom coding to go to a new industry.
Right.
Basically, I can change the words that say, you know, I need an operator, I need a field worker versus a pilot, a flight attendant, without any custom coding. And we can literally do that in a few days and have like a turnkey ready solution that will solve, you know, major compliance, risk, safety problems, but also just major operating problems, because time is money out here. So like if that form, you know, takes, you know, 8 hours to get from, you know, way out in the Bakken to here, that 8 hour, you know, time could cost them millions of dollars, where if they could get somewhere that had a cellular connection or a Wi-Fi and they hit it, bam, they've instantly saved 8 hours of time.
How many different ways are you being efficient with their business model? I'm listening to the streamlining of protocols.
Yeah.
But I wrote down 90 pounds. Is it gas savings too?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm listening to all the different savings that you're offering.
Yeah, what is that? What is that 90 pounds to the oil, you know, oil and gas industry? What's that comparison?
That's the biggest challenge. That's what we're trying to figure out right now, right? Yeah. Every person that we've talked to so far, it's like, boom, the light clicks on. Every single person in the oil and gas industry we've talked to so far, the light clicks on. They're like, we can use this, we can use that. Mm-hmm. We were just talking with an attorney last night for a large trucking outfit here locally. And, you know, all the ideas that she started throwing out, and the other gentleman that we were talking with as well was like, well, yeah, that applies to me here, but we also need it for X, Y, Z. I mean, the hard part is it's so hard to actually put you probably could put a dollar figure on it once you actually look at an organization's entire workflow, right? Mm-hmm. Then you can say, boom, we can save you X amount of time here, right? We can help with your life safety compliance here, which saves you time or saves you money on compliance, not getting fined, all the other pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah,
right?
That'd be great.
One of the other things too that we had started to hear too, like the time savings, and I was just listening to the conversation about risk and compliance, you had said that the safety is so important. So if you don't have, if you can't show, like that's part of your marketing effort out here, like you get one chance. And if you screw up, you know, like that's a big deal. So your operations have to run incredibly smoothly, and then you can't just say like we're the number one in safety. How do you show that? Well, now we have a way or a, you know, software platform that you can demonstrate all of our employees are in compliance. Here's your one click, here's your report. Everyone's been trained under OSHA. Everyone knows the disaster planning, you know, that happens when something might happen or an incident. And now you can have some, reasons to believe. You can show your client, mm-hmm. give them confidence that, you know,
you've got metrics,
you have data, that's a good way to be able to do it. So it's not only savings, but it can help in, or, you know, generating more confidence.
Yeah, I was talking to a blasting company in Salt Lake, and I said, what would this mean to you, you know, personally, like, you know, what kind of savings or what? And he said, savings? Are you kidding me? He said, this is my marketing. He said, if I can go to Rio Tinto and I can show them that my employees have 100% compliance, he said, that's a, you know, $100 million contract to me. He said, that's the safety and the compliance is so important in this industry that he said the big giants like Rio Tinto and all of those guys are looking at this going, we only hire the best. And right now, if you're tracking how you're managing that you're the best on spreadsheets, it's not very convincing. If you can show them, I'm pulling up one of our demo sites to kind of show you, because then the lights kind of go on. If you can show them a dashboard and you can show them, then they're like, holy crap, they have their stuff together, you know, like they're the best.
And you know, as they were talking about with, you know, North Dakota, it's right now or yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. So when do you want to meet and close, you know, do something? It's like, boom, we need it yesterday. It's got to be done. The great part is their e-learning platform, which is just one piece of the puzzle that they've talked about, right? Not only can it help with a training perspective, but it helps show the competency, not just in the employee, but in the teacher for the training, right? Because you have real metrics that come back, not just as a test score, but on each individual question. So they go through this process as part of their industry that they sit down with, and you create the line of questioning, you can say, okay, well, we had 75% of people pass. Well, pass is pass. Well, that's great, but why did 65% of the people get the wrong answer on a dangerous item like lithium ion batteries, right? So that tells the company, bing, we have to have better training, better systems, mm-hmm. better processes for those particular safety issues, sure. for those particular issues. Not just, it's not the students, you know, all too often it's not necessarily the students, it's how they're being taught mm-hmm. in the curriculum and how it comes together. Mm-hmm. And you can see it, as Carrie says, you see a trend, right? Mm-hmm. You can start creating analytics and measurements saying, okay, we started off really, really bad at this, but over the last 6 months, we've changed these pieces of the puzzle and we've gotten good. And that's what you, that's the tool that they can take and love it.
So I want to ask you a question that I wrote down, which was interesting, how you got started on this. Mm-hmm. I've made the statement off the record to people that it, what's interesting about the Bakken is that community has become a commodity.
Yeah.
A sense of community, mm-hmm. being involved.
Right.
I wrote down listening as a commodity.
It is. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, I would say it is the biggest reason for my success is that I listened. I still listen today. Like, I'm a very active CEO. I'm on the road all the time. And, you know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, you can't be that active. And I said, I built this company on listening. And when we decided to go into the energy sector and oil and gas, I just looked at Brian and I said, I want to put my cowboy boots on and come, because I listened in aviation and that's how I was successful. And I built relationships with people and I understood their pain. You know, in aviation, I speak around the world now. They bring me in. I just spoke in Stockholm as the thought leader to 300 pilots worldwide. And, you know, to me, it was kind of funny. I giggled, you know, as they introduced me, because I was like, yeah, 3 years ago, most of you were laughing at me. And now I'm the thought leader, you know. But, oh, well.
Thanks for the invite.
I'm so glad I'm your hero today. But I know I just look at it and, you know, they're looking to me because what I've been able to do is airlines are fiercely competitive, just like oil companies are fiercely competitive. If there is a safety incident, though, it affects the entire industry. Mm-hmm. And these companies are not allowed to collaborate, right? Well, that would be hell if you like called up your competitor and said, how are you being more safe, right? But by us listening and by us having like their competitors on our platform, we've created a safety community of best practices. So they call me and they say, Carrie, we really need to, rewrite our manuals. We're finding they're not effective, you know, for searching now in a digital world. What would you guys recommend as the best practices? And I would say, well, I've seen it done five different ways. I've seen approvals get done through the DOD or the, you know, TSA this way. And you know what we've learned through this is that we would really highly recommend you do X, Y, Z. And now it's become this collaboration, right? They're using me. I'll have Southwest call me and say, has any other carrier ever done this? And I have become, or our company has become now, a way for them to not only use an incredible software platform, but to help each other be more safe. So, we have a huge conference in Chicago coming up, and they're all going to come and they're all going to collaborate, and it's going to be allowed because it's around safety. It's about making a better environment, and it's kind of breaking down those competitive walls. I'm the first vendor who I'm kind of known for this as well, is I'd go to an airline show and I would bring 12 airlines to dinner, to the same dinner together.
You're like, what the hell's JetBlue doing here?
And the other vendors made fun of me. They were like, so who are you taking out tonight? You know, mm-hmm. JetBlue, Southwest, American. And I'm like, I said, good luck finding anyone for you to take to dinner, because yeah. I got them all. You can't have them all. That's not how we roll. Like, you take one, I take, you know.
Welcome to the 21st century.
And we just go have a blast. We don't even really talk business. We just
Efficient with your time there too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and we just have, and then we get around this table, and you know what? I have helped those guys make connections. Now they call each other all the time, mm-hmm. and they're like, hey, this is totally off the record, but we're having a problem getting the FAA to approve this.
That's off the record, by the way.
Yeah, this is off the record. But, you know, we're having problems. What did you do to get a mounting device in the cockpit approved? You know, and so, you know, it's, that's what we can do for the oil industry as well. They're in this fast-paced growth right now. And if you don't get standard operating policies and procedures and efficient ways to manage a mobile workforce and to hire and fire safely, you know, I mean, that's going to be key. It could shut down an operation. Mm-hmm. So let me show you. If, do you mind coming over here?
I'll for a minute? You.
That way, this I'll show you some of the. So.
And just really quick before you go into that, if that's okay, I just want to touch on one point. The thing that I love about Carrie and what they do is, and what they do so differently, is that Carrie doesn't have like a price list, right? And come in and she's not about, you guys got to buy this package and this package and this. It's, she goes and sits down with the client and says, here's what we have and what we do. How can we help you? Right. And then listens, and then they are able to build very quickly a product suite to fix the solution the right way. Right. And then they price around that, but price is never the upfront. Well, you know, they own the market share on the other side, so it's never the first thing out of the gate because it's not the most important thing.
Sure.
The most important thing is fixing the solution.
Right.
Yeah. Good point.
Creating the solutions. Right.
Right. So here's the app. So if you just look, I'll log off and log on. But basically, you just log into your app, and it's gonna make sure I'm hired, which is really important. Mm-hmm. If I got fired. Which happens out here, I would immediately, it would have been destroyed, you know, and I wouldn't be able to have any of that sensitive information. So if I go to a competitor, you know, it's, you know, game over, they can't see it. So right now it's checking back at our servers to say, is she hired, is she authenticated? And literally right here in the enterprise side, I can just, I can blow it up right now and not let me log in, which I'm not gonna do. So this side is the corporate side, and it's gonna, this is where I manage everything. I've got everything kind of turned on, but you'll see I've got alerts that can go out, which is really important, what's going on. And then the app kind of mirrors this. So I have people that use the website, and I have people that just use the app. But here I've got their documents, their forms, workflow projects. This would be scheduling and training courses. So we're just going to click on. We have a new OSHA info sheet on hydraulic fracturing. So here you can just see, now this is available with or without connectivity. So once I've just, we say, you know, you just comply once a day, just log in. That's all you do, is that syncing, and everything gets done in the background. And this is maybe mandatory. So what our software has done is put in a compliance confirmation code. So once I finish reading this, I'm just gonna go ahead and enter a confirmation code that says, you know, that I've complied to this. I'm going to leave this one alone for a moment, though, because I want to use it later. So I can comply to that, and it'll come right back to headquarters, which I'll show you. And then you have got a collection. So every person that works in oil might have a different duties, but they only see what they need to see. Mm-hmm. So we hedge out their view. So, you know, that's why it works for vendors as well. And basically I could be out and we have lightning coming and I don't know what to do because this operation was just set up. I've got, you know, 10 minutes to figure it out. I can basically just open a document and I can start doing a full text search, and you can type in a word. We'll just type in one that probably exists because I don't know what lightning's in here. But you can start to type in a word. It'll bring where that word is everywhere in this document, and it'll take you right there. So in aviation, right, we have to, like a bird hits the windshield. We had to prove to the FAA that in under 60 seconds, a pilot could find cracked windshield. Now, could they do that on paper? Absolutely not. Could they find cracked windshield in 60 seconds? Absolutely not. But anyway, that's just... So you can also look at a view. So if you're looking for a diagram, this one doesn't have any diagrams, but you can look at a grid view and say, oh, that's what I'm looking for visually. They also do their own custom bookmarks, which gets used, especially in oil, when you have a 1,000-page manual that you need to say dimensions, air pressure, you know, all of those kinds of things you reference. They can actually make their own custom bookmarks that help them reference where to find what they need to do their job. So that's kind of the overview on the document side. If we hit home and we go to our forms, then we have all kinds of forms in here, but basically you can have an ops form. So here I have a checklist before I drive. You know, I need to make sure my engine's good, my tires are good. This is the tailgate meetings we hear, like that operating man has that tailgate meeting at, in the morning. He needs to go through a checklist every day of what he's reviewed with everybody.
No, if I'm managing this, can I just build this form right through my, or?
Mm-hmm. You can build the form in HTML, or you can, if you don't know how to use HTML, you can just send me a form that you have. You can fax it to me and we'll absolutely replicate the exact way.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, one of the things that oil we found is just like aviation, they live and die by their forms. Mm-hmm. So heaven forbid that it looks different, right? So we just don't, like, we just ask you to give us, I'll show you another one.
Well, she's looking for that though, sometimes in the forms we're able to make them even better. So that they either pre-populate fields, or we can expand sections, or sometimes we can mm-hmm. even, you know, improve it a little bit by combining two forms into one.
Okay.
So it's even leaning out some of the processes that you already have.
Sure.
You don't have to. If you're married to your formula, you don't have to change it. Great. But there's a lot of things we can do to help eliminate keying errors even on here. So it's super simple to tap, or like I said, pre-populate.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the just the high level on the app, but the real power is here. Now watch, we're gonna, I'm an executive at an oil company, and I log in and I click our company dashboard. Okay, let me do my drop down. So this is a company.
That's what sold it, didn't it?
Yeah.
That's what people like to see.
They do.
Like to see.
It's just the, give me the view.
So here, right here, I can see the overviews. We're at 89% on documents, we're at workflow, we're at this for the entire company.
Mm-hmm.
So I can then say, oh, that looks pretty good, but let's look at our documents, for example. And we can just pull up our policies and procedures that just went out. Our goal as a company is to always be in the 90. We're 1% off. Let's see why. Sorry, I'm on an error card. So basically, you are right at 89. That looks pretty good. But let's look at our construction category. So this is all customizable by their names, right? They can do it by region. They can do it by all of this. We just type in. And we can kind of see that, wow, these things went out and they were 100%. Let's look at this one that's 50% and see when the due date is. And you can actually see the exact time and second that they read the document from what device. So here in green, they've read it, and this is the confirmation of the IP address or the serial number. So basically, this is now you get audited, and you can say, hey, we put out our standard operating procedures. I can prove it. I can show you exactly who read it from what device. And this alone is like money, right? Yeah. It's money, too, for like, let's look at a big company like you know, Marathon, like they have to control all the vendors on your drill site. You know, they've got the drillers, they've got the fracturers, they've got the wiring, they've got all those guys, but not only do their employees need to know this, but there's regulations. What if we're on an Indian preserve? There's different policies and procedures that I have to prove as Marathon that they are aware that they are on an Indian preservation and that these are what we're required to do for this site. So they can prove that here and manage it. And then he was talking about kind of here's a report. And this is super simple. Like you can see, it's like anybody could figure out how to use this. Like we say we can implement in weeks and train your users in minutes because nobody has time to learn a complicated software. Time is money in aviation. Time is money in oil and gas, right? So here's our training, right? You load up a training video or PowerPoint or anything, do an e-class. They can watch it on an iPad, they can watch it on a computer, smartphone, whatever. And we can say, let's see how we did on this hazmat training. Everybody has to do hazmat training when they come on. Let's see if our material is actually working. So you just pull up this report and basically without having to do any crazy kind of things, it instantly pulls all the data together. And it'll show you who took it, how many people it was assigned to, and then down here is your trending. So he's just talking about lithium batteries. Well, we've got a training problem around lithium batteries because 50% of the people that take the class get that question wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I could just go in and edit my PowerPoint or my video and instantly see tomorrow's results to say we've taken a few more minutes to really explain that. because that could be a risk for the company if they're not understanding that. So really, really powerful system that gives you line of sight, right? Nobody has to follow up. Did they complete the training? The system does all the follow up. So if I load in a training, it'll literally bug you to death until you take it. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get email alerts, you're gonna get badge alerts on your app, you're gonna get alerts right here in your notification center that says you have to do this today. And then if you don't do it, it's gonna start sending alerts to your supervisor. Ooh. So now your supervisor is going to get a roll-up email that looks something, let's see, I think I have one in here. It's gonna look something like this that basically, well, I really have a messy desktop.
This means you've been busy.
They're all laughing at you.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
I'm
just kidding.
Actually, I don't see it on here. But you'll get a roll-up email at the end of the night of everybody on your crew that has not complied to a policy, to a training. So, you know, we have pilot groups. We have a couple of airlines that actually link this to their check-in. Mm-hmm. You cannot clock in if you're not fully compliant with everything and comply. And it's another layer of, you know, basically protection. We don't have somebody at a site doing a procedure that they haven't been trained on. Right. And then the last part is like your projects. So we talked a lot about forms, start a workflow or an approval. This is really powerful because now if we started any kind of approval process, I can see here we got a field compliance workflow going. There's 16 tasks and it was completed. It's not an email chain. It's not anybody had to follow up in the company. I can actually look at who did what task, when it was completed, by who, the email, and then their comments. So let's say that we got a title company approval for working on the Indian preservation and it had to follow these policies and procedures. I can actually have everybody that went through that approval do it through comply. And then, you know, we get sued in 3 months and say we haven't followed proper policy and procedures. I can just pull this up and say, absolutely, I can print this for you right now. Where right now, even in aviation, if a FAA approves a new policy for our documents, you know, that go out to all the pilots, we might get a new FAA inspector in a year and he'll say, how in the heck are you, why are you doing that? I never approved that. Oh, let me pull up comments of our last POI and what he said. Well, we're covered. Mm-hmm. So it's really imperative to have like audit trails around how your policies were changed. And then the last thing we added recently was a content editor and linking your standards. So in aviation, we have the same FAA standards, IOSA, OSHA standards, right? In your standard operating policies and procedures with the EPA and the DOD, they will put out, like FAA puts out 8,900 standards that your policies have to reference. And we actually link them in our system. So I can go to the EPA's website, download all of them, and I can link them to your standard operating procedures. So now here, let's say Kevin goes in and he wants to make a change to the general operating guide for Marathon, okay? Goes in to edit it, the software's gonna go, whoa, you're touching an EPA policy and procedures, do not proceed. So again, we're hedging risk because you're not gonna get caught out of compliance mm-hmm. because we're managing all your content here. And it'll also alert other manuals within your system. He's gonna make a change to the drilling manual. It may all of a sudden, the system will come up with an alert that this is gonna also affect our fracking department's manual, and it'll send them an alert that a policy has to be changed. You need to look at your manual. So it keeps this safety alignment and everything, you know, kind of in sync, so.
Synergy amongst reports.
Yeah, and it breaks down silos. What we find is as fast growth happens, right? You silo departments out. Then you don't know what the left hand or the right hand is doing. And in a highly regulated environment, that's so dangerous. Mm-hmm. So this breaks down silos. I can have HR use this. I can make sure drug and alcohol training went out. But I can also have, you know, the hazmat crew send out. So as an employee, I'm not logging into 5 systems. I'm not showing up on site.
Having to find it in email.
Yeah,
or
having to find it in email.
Worse. I just know the
fact that you've just solved the, you know, the email issue alone. I mean, that's incredible.
It seemed like a virtual assistant and a virtual file cabinet. You know, I mean, kind of just, you know, because somebody does all that assistant work of emailing and notifying everybody in a split second.
Right. One of the things, though, I think that is, Kara keeps coming back to is that from a management perspective, you're giving them the right management and corporate, their tools to be able to make those smarter decisions because now you've seen like how information's related or how what gaps there are. And you can make, especially in oil and gas, when the industry moves so quickly, a lot faster decisions. So you might have had to have looked up the title of company and it might have taken you 8 days or whatever to kind of start through the paperwork and figure out where everything is or, you know, to do your hazmat training and figure out who didn't take it and all that kind of stuff. Well, now you have that information available or at your fingertips. So it's faster, smarter decisions that help you reduce your risk and, you know, save money or win new business.
Right.
That's it.
How many oil companies have you presented to?
We've been mostly doing gas, and we're here to start to do oil.
Where are you doing gas? Where have you been presenting to gas companies?
We've been doing. And I don't know that we want to put them down their names.
I'm just curious.
We've been
meeting
with Questar and National Grid and PNG.
What I'm getting at is, all right, so you've been presenting to gas.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming out here now to kind of look at oil and how you can bring that into the oil industry. So what I'm looking at though is the response that because your approach of the listening approach, and then of course, you know, the nature of this app and the software is that they begin to ideate right away. Here's all the okay, yes, we see it, and so you let them do that. What is it you're seeing that they're really? I mean, is the big thing for energy? I mean, what is it that the energy companies on the whole are getting excited about and really kind of latching onto?
What the comments that we're hearing are like this: like, you know, in gas, the CEO looked at me and said, "We had no idea this technology even existed." He said, "We have some key pain points that we were trying to solve." He said, "You came in 5 minutes." This was the CEO that I had met with. He said, "And within 5 minutes of you talking, I knew you solved every single pain point and then probably 20 others that we didn't even know could be solved." And so that's when he called an emergency meeting and had all of his staff come in. And then his staff actually looked at me and they said, "Who are you?" Because I told him my background, like I'm from aviation and we're moving into this industry. "How did we get a call from our CEO that said emergency meeting?" I said, "What I said, I guess, must have resonated." And these guys said, not only resonated, he said, "You basically came in here and solved every single problem that we have. And we're just blown away." And they're like, you know, "God bless you for showing up," you know, because, you know, these people, you know, the meetings that we had yesterday, these meetings are, I mean, it's so fun to do what I do, because I will tell you, I've never been told no. I've never sold anything in my life where I've never been told no, you know, it's just amazing. And the other thing is I leave most meetings where everyone's jaw is like on the floor going, "You just solved everything for us." And so the complications that we solve for them are just really that everything is manual, it's disparate, it's siloed, and they feel the pain. And they know technology is out there today. They know every person in their company has a smartphone. They know a lot of them have their own personal tablets. And they're saying, "How do we leverage technology for our mobile workforce?" And they think it's not here yet. And then I walk in the door and they're like, "It's here and it's simple. And I could do this without, you know, years of implementation." For them, they're just like, "Sign me up." You know, we met with 3 gas companies and within 30 days we were doing contracts, like, "Show me the contract, show me the pricing, let's get our workflow together." That's fast. And so we're really, you know, you're not in a budget, right? So you're really solving pain points that they're immediately going, how do we get a contract? Show me what a contract looks like. Let's go to pricing. And now Questar has actually said, "This is phenomenal. We need 60 days because we have to now go to every single department because we figured out now that you solved 20 problems, but what if you solved 100? Mm-hmm. So let's go, we're going to go back and we're going to re-look at our business case and see how we deploy this better enterprise-wide instead of just coming in to solve 20 problems. Yesterday we met with a guy who was just like, oh, are you kidding me? He's like, we have post-it, you know, I say our biggest competitor are post-it notes, Excel spreadsheets, and paper. You know, and he said, you're absolutely right, because he said, we have a wall in our office right now that is just where everything is, who's gotten what, you know, and he said, it's just papers. And he said, we could literally push a button and those papers would fly through virtual space and instantly appear on a smartphone or a tablet. Absolutely. He's like, that's crazy. He said, our company is growing so fast. I was brought in to develop standard operating procedures, policies, workflow forms. He said, because he said, we have to have that. We don't know what's going on. And he said, somebody's stuck in traffic and they need something. We don't know how to get it to them. So, you know, for them, it's so hard to just say exactly what we solve. We basically walk in the door and say, you know, these are key things that we built our software. And then we just sit back and listen and the room becomes alive, you know, and they'll say, hey, you know, like last night at a meeting, they said, hey, we really are having a problem with titling. So with revision control, you know, we've got Word documents flying through the air via email back and forth, and nobody knows who has the latest. Could you solve that problem for us? And I say, yeah, absolutely. You just load in the title paper here. It'll immediately send it out. They'll get an email alert. They'll get a badge. They can get it on any PC, any tablet, or their smartphone. It'll have total revision control, and you can guarantee that every person involved in that title has the right paper. You just solved a huge problem.
Tell me the difference between this and, say, like, I'm sure you're familiar with some of the tools that, like, Salesforce puts out there in terms of that.
Sure. So Salesforce is now trying to, they just recently bought, like, a little document management company. Mm-hmm. What they don't understand yet is that, really, it goes way beyond that. We're not just like Dropbox or SharePoint where we're just like dumping a file. This is all about your main repository. That's everything that's compliance and revision control in a very secure environment has to be in the system. SharePoint just shares documents and anybody can see them, and there's no control of who can see what. It's just like it creates this big thing where everyone can see everything. And Gartner put out a report that the average employee spends 32 hours a month digging for information in these kinds of sites.
SharePoint, it was a bane.
And so Salesforce is really just focusing on, like, how do we distribute a sales brochure? They have no idea around the intricacies of compliance, regulation, safety, risk mitigation. And so,
that's kind of what I've carried. Yeah. It's more operational focus. It's central to all of your operations and connecting all those various departments and that whole, it's more operational versus Salesforce concentrates, I think, on the customer facing activities. That a Salesforce means your codes, it's one piece of the puzzle, but operations are critical. Like Carrie said, it's connecting.
So I can't help, you know, because I came from healthcare. And when are you going to do healthcare?
Yeah.
When are you taking that on?
That's a whole other story. I need to do something. I need your guys' help.
Okay.
I've got to go have them between all of us and the fence post and
pause.